Welcome to this week's Dirt Shed Show, where we're going to be talking about possibly the greatest downhill run of all time.
Well, Dan didn't swear that time. Plus, we've got some extreme danger from one of the most influential bike riders out there.
Yeah, and there's a trend emerging that old is now new. Alloy's on the comeback, steel is on the comeback.
And then we talk about some of biggest comebacks, I think, from the World Cup cross-country and downhill at the weekend. Great racing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's got us asking the question, has mountain biking become an old dog sport? Uh-oh. Here we go.
How have I teleported to the woods? Well, I'm here to bring you some big news for GMBM, but also for our sister channels, GCN, the road channel, and GTN, the triathlon channel, plus others. We're now independent again, which is quite a change for us, but it's back to how we used to be. So Warner Bros. Discovery are going head to head with the streamers like Amazon, Apple, and Netflix, and they have decided to consolidate everything under one big platform, which means that we've headed our separate ways, and this now allows us to focus on you, the mountain bikers. So it should be really good news for us at GMBM, but also for you too. But what does that actually mean? Well, to you guys, the core of what we actually have been doing and have done for the last 10 years will remain the same. We want to make the best bike videos we can that entertain, inform, and hopefully inspire you guys. With our regained independence, we're now liberated to get back to basics. Get creative, have fun, and explore other avenues again, as directed by you, the people who empower and enable us to continue doing what we love. That's it. It's always been about you, the GMBN community, and we really appreciate the support we've had over the last 9+ years, and we all can't wait for what the future holds. So we'd love to hear your feedback. Jump into the comments down below. Let us know what you'd like to see more of, what you've really enjoyed in the last 9+ years. Is it videos, podcasts? What do you want to see us do next? And thank you very much for your support.
Right then, let's get talking about this incredible race run this weekend. And we'll get to the results in a minute, but Ormer Hyperion, maybe one of the greatest downhill runs of all time,
I think so. I mean,
incredible.
We have to talk about the track a little bit because that's what kind of put this run into context. It was really, really hard. That place, I've raced a couple of times. It's just like a gradient that's not crazy steep, but it's really punishing. And the rocks and roots are everywhere. There's nowhere to rest. And with the mud thrown in as well, as we saw, there was loads of mistakes, loads of crashing as well. And he was down in some of the worst conditions. Yeah. And he was just perfect. And he won by almost 5 seconds over Dakota Norton, who put an incredible run down.
Yeah.
And in putting that even more into context, it was his comeback season after breaking his neck and having surgery on it, which is quite complicated by saying last year.
You can see his run and the rest of the race on Discovery Plus.
We'll get to all those things, but I mean, that run, we're comparing it to some of the greatest other runs of all time, like, say, Rachel Atherton coming back at Lenzerheide and winning after taking, what, nearly 2 years off?
Yeah.
Like, a run like that, or
Aaron Gwynn chainless has got to be on the list.
Iconic.
Danny Hart, Champery.
Yeah.
Sam Hill, but when he crashed at Val d'Isol as well, was a legendary. He was way up, but it was really cool seeing, if you watch Omri's GoPro as well, you see just how mind-bendingly fast it is and how dangerous it is. When you actually look at what he's flying past, you can't tell the gradient by any means, but you know what GoPro does to it. Mm. But you realise just how fast he's going, and you see him ghost the bike at the end. He spins around, sees the result, ghosts his bike, and just like the raw emotion
it was incredible
of his comeback. Because he said some pretty full-on things after his injury. He was very upset, rightfully so, about some things, but it's been a long road for him, and I'm a big fan of Perron and Bruni. They're probably my favourite riders there, two
great
French guys.
Riders.
I love seeing it.
I really didn't think Dakota Norton's time would be beaten. I really thought when that was come down, he was going to get beat. And maybe that was a shame it wasn't too, but it was definitely one of the greatest runs. And like you said, that track, just so gnarly and dangerous, but not as dangerous as somewhere else I saw this week.
I know what you're getting on. Yeah, Sam Pilgrim
has lost his mind.
I mean, it's fine as long as it goes okay. If it doesn't go okay, you're in trouble.
But he could have cut himself in half.
I know.
In half. And not in half this way.
Yeah.
That way. Oh my goodness me, this is so crazy. I don't know what you were thinking. Sam, what are you doing?
I've seen this on a motorbike on ice on Instagram of somebody riding along, which is at least you've got some plastic between you and the thing on motorbike. Well done, Sam. He's doing
well
Sam
done.
Things.
He's pushing his luck. And I tell you what, something else. I mean, I don't know if he was using old saws, but it was like an old
Didn't
idea. Old is now new.
Yeah.
Right? Am I imagining this? Okay. I'm seeing old materials, i.e., alloy coming back in, like alloy CNC parts. You know, appearing on people's bikes as the factory bits and steel downhill bikes.
Well, Anna Newkirk rode to second place in Leogang on her steel bike, Contra, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Really cool looking bike. But also Nika Mullally has been riding, I think he rode Fort William Ann this weekend on a steel frame. So he can switch between, I think he's got a carbon one as well, has he?
I think he's got an alloy one, and it's definitely something that's happening. Also, old tech is new. Richie Rude and Jack Moyer in Enduro are racing with speed dampeners on.
Steering damper on the floor.
Yeah, look.
Nissi Jove used to run one of those back in the day.
Yeah, it looks just like that one, but it's not. It's a new brand. It's the Pandamelon.
Yes.
Pandamelon brand.
Yeah.
But that's like an old tech idea.
I've never used one. It seems like a crazy thing to be running in Enduro, but I know they're riding those single crane. You know, trail bikes are one of the better word, enduro bikes, of course, but they're riding those trail bikes on downhill tracks really, really hard.
Why is that old, especially in the materials, why is that coming back? Just because it's easier to prototype with? And
some of that, I think, really with the alloy bars and rims and even steel frames, it's more about compliance. It's getting the right ride quality out of the bike. So sometimes you might want it nice and firm and rigid for maybe a Leogang where it's super fast and bike parky, but when you're in Val d'Isère, you're getting punished, or Fort William, you might think you want a bit of flex in the frame to just, you know, make it track a bit better, looking for grip, looking for
Can you feel that? Can you feel that flex in the frame, really? When you're going...
I mean, I've not tested frames back to back, so I couldn't comment on that so much. Mm. But wheels, I can tell a drift on carbon rims compared to, like, they'll chatter a bit more. Depending, I mean, not all carbon rims are the same, but rather than a kind of a shralpy drift, a carbon wheel can chatter a bit. And sometimes you see it on the ground, you see like a dum dum dum, like where the dust picks up.
But, that's amazing.
But obviously it depends if you pair that with a carbon frame. You know, there's all these things. I mean, I did a video on it last year, I believe. And I think a lot of downhill racers particularly are going for carbon frames paired with aluminium rims and bars. They're not sticking with the you know, the material of the future that we've always gone down the carbon route with.
And I guess the old is new bit I'm thinking about is I'm looking at new designs like the Pivot and the Atherton bike and the Specialized, but it's not necessarily, it's the mix of materials, isn't it?
Well, maybe
that we're seeing alloy or titanium lugs with carbon or sometimes aluminium tubes, like on Nico's bike. So it's a mashup of those materials.
I wonder if that is the future, is it's not one thing, it's trying to use the right material in the right place, and that might mean a hybrid, a composite of materials within the frame itself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not new either, to be fair, we've seen that in the past.
Yeah, materials making a comeback, and talking about comebacks, it was a weekend of comebacks, wasn't it, over in Val d'Isère.
Omri Pirion's from injury. Tani Seagrave, again, she's suffered with concussions.
Neil, wait, you don't have to tell me. We had a man on the ground.
We did.
Right? We can go to Rich Payne, who was in Val d'Isère, and give us a little bit of a race recap of what happened.
Thanks, guys. Yes, it's time for Rich's race recap from here in Val d'Isère for cross country and downhill. And what an insane weekend of racing it was. In the short track, it was the double from Alpecin to Koenigs, Pup Pietersen and Sam Gaze. The big powerhouse went on to win, Pip in the rest of the field then. Pup Pietersen battled with Pauline Ferrand-Prevot for the entire race, but it was Puck who would remain on top after weathering the storm of lots of attacks. Moving on to the downhill, Amaury Pirion, the man, the myth, the legend, came back to his winning ways as he tackled the Black Snake top to bottom, smashing the opposition by about 4 seconds. Dakota Norton thought he had it right up until the bitter end when the last man down absolutely sent it. In the women's, It was the birthday girl, Tani Seagrave, who would take home the win. Miriam Nicole, fastest in semis, was looking good, but it was Tani who would get back onto the top step of the podium after sort of some jostling all day, shall we say. It wasn't too sure. And then onto the cross country or the Olympic discipline. Nino Schurter, one of the most winning riders here in Val d'Isole, went on to do it again. The man is an absolute monster. Several attacks on the uphill sort of saw him pull away from Alan Hatherley in second place. Nino's smoothness in the rock gardens and his sort of his jumping skills would show on the four cross track behind me. In the women's, Pauline Frampavot put on an absolute masterclass to pull away from Loana Lecomte and Pat Pizza as she took the win by about 50 seconds. It was her climbing prowess which really did it for her there, putting in monster attacks on the uphills to put her sort of dominance ahead of the Olympics this season. Cracking racing here in Val d'Isole. Back to you guys.
Thank you, Richard. That's pretty good, isn't it? Having a person there watching it for us.
It's a lovely spot out there as well. I've done some riding there in the past. Amazing place to go for a mountain bike trip if you ever get a chance.
Yeah, so comebacks. I mean, Nino's not a comeback.
Yeah.
It's like he just keeps coming back.
Kind of is. I feel like he's been off the boil a little bit this year. I mean, he has had that one good result, but to rack up another win. And as far as I can tell, so he's 38 years old. I think he's joint equal oldest person in that men's race field.
That is incredible.
Isn't it incredible?
Yeah, that makes you think. What about the other comebacks? I mean, obviously, Ormeray's incredible run was also an incredible comeback.
Miriam Nicole has suffered a lot with injuries. And Tiny Seagrave, like I said, she's had concussions. And she's been, I think she's 1 in 2 years now.
I mean, Miriam Nicole took last year off, essentially.
Yeah.
Last week, the last round, literally last week, she really showed she was back with a vengeance. This week, she proved it because she was right there, ready to win. Then, of course, Tani, again, she's had a whole season out pretty much from concussion the year before last. Fought back all through last year trying to get back on pace. This year, a massive comeback.
And what a place to do it. It is brutal. It's one of those that I'm sure, you know, once you've got that ticked off, like Omri and Tani, it's like the confidence you'll get from winning at Val d'Isole is as good a place as any to win a race. It's so, so hard.
And it's looking like a very exciting season. Those comebacks, I guess that's experience, isn't it? It's experience coming through those riders that have been through it, have seen what they have to do to really come back from an injury, taken their time.
But I'm really impressed because, like, you know, Ormeray doesn't have experience of breaking his neck, I don't think. So it's a really serious thing to have been and through and actually thought that you could still go out and do the same thing that...
Yeah.
I mean, we've all done it our own, you know, I've done it at a much smaller scale of getting back to what you're actually trying to do and knowing what can happen is a different perspective on things.
And it makes me very excited about the season. Of course, you can watch all of the racing live over on Discovery Plus. And Max is one of the spots you can watch it. I don't have Max, but I guess that's available somewhere else.
Yep.
If it's in your area. But yeah, so you can watch that racing live. And definitely looking forward to a great season. So we've talked about comebacks and we talked about Nino and his age. And you were racing this weekend in Vets.
Veterans. So I've gone from junior to elite to veterans.
I missed out. What was it like racing in Vets?
It was actually really good fun. And there's the guys who were I was racing against have been racing for as long as I have. I've had a bit of a break in the middle, but it's really competitive. Mm. And it was nice to jump in there and have a go. And I didn't have it all my own way, definitely. I was third, but quite a long way off first. So it's given me something to aim for.
Yeah, and what was the top time in Vets like? Was it like 98th in
juniors? No, it was like Leon Rosser, who won Veterans, would have won Masters senior. I think his time was maybe fourth fastest for the day. There were some really fast juniors and youths. And Alex Storr, who's a pro enduro rider, I think he had the fast time of the day. Was a good few seconds ahead of Leon, but it was impressive to see the old guys and girls putting in some very fast times.
So, elephant in the room, is mountain biking becoming an old dog's game? And, you know, an old person's game? Because
I don't know.
I feel like when I go to a bike park at the moment, definitely where I ride, everybody I see is of an age.
Yeah.
Like, they're my age.
Well, there's the money part of it, which we have talked about.
That could be a big
deal. It's got to be, isn't it? Although, having said that, like there were some really strong class of youth and juniors. And actually, I took my kids, and it was, there's loads of kids who are too young to race, but they're all there. There's a pump track, there's an airbag, there's loads of kids at the race. So I feel like that is has a bright future, but I don't know, maybe a bit in the middle, like the 18 to 30, is there a bit of a gap there?
It's interesting you say that, 18 to 30. Here's a stat for you, which will blow your mind, right? Did you know 80% of mountain bikers in the world, right, are between 30 and 60?
Crazy.
Right, so the biggest bit of the pie is that group, right? But that doesn't mean 20% of the people are younger than that.
Yeah.
It means some of the 20% left are older than that, and then there's the young ones. So it's really frightening numbers thinking forward as how does the sport develop?
Yeah, true.
But I guess maybe it's something that you do when you're very young, if you're racing and you're into it, and then maybe there is a gap where... dare I say, relationships and cars come in, and then you come back to it, maybe.
But what's good is it makes me feel young. If it's 30 to 60, then I'm in the younger demographic.
Good spin on it, Neil. So there you go. Is it an older person sport? I think it's really interesting to think about. It could be an older person sport because of the heritage of you used to do it and you've come back to it. Are you making a comeback? The cost of it. Is it something that's just become so expensive now? You can't do it until you're... in your 30s, which is a frightening thought. And you know, is the age a really big part of it? Are you coming back to the sport? Let us know in the comments down below where you are, and maybe drop your age if you're brave. Let's have a list of ages next to names in the comments down below. It'd be great to hear from you and see what you think. Great way to support the channel is head over to the GMBN shop and get yourself some merch. Something that's going very well at the moment is the Forest Mountain Tee.
That's modelled by Forrest Gump over here.
Yeah, this is actually your T-shirt. I stole it last week.
I wonder what
smell
it is.
I haven't taken it off.
Does it smell like wet dog like the rest of my T-shirts?
Yeah, honestly, the shop is a great place to get some amazing merch. We've got some great stuff there. But of course, it helps us make the content we make. And we really, really love that support.
I saw some GMBN jerseys at the race of the weekend. It's really cool, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's always great to see viewers and fellow friends of the channel. So, yeah, get involved if you can, and we really appreciate it. It's a great moment to mention that a subscribe or a like goes an awful long way to getting the videos out to even more mountain bikers than just yourself. So make sure you do that. And, of course, the comments is where you can get involved.
You can shout at us in there as well if you want. We are going in, Martin, to the bike vaults.
Yes.
And we're starting off with a trials bike, but it doesn't look like your average trials bike, to be fair. This is
It's an old school runner. It's base bikes. Used to be owned by Pete Tompkins.
Yeah.
Crodcatcher.
Is Pete Dunne? Crodcatcher, Dave's Chain Device.
Yeah.
Cog Hog.
Just a little shout out. Massive part of my comeback to being able to ride mountain bikes again after my injury. True, yeah. So I definitely wouldn't be where I am and what I've done without Pete Tompkins. So this is definitely a super nice. Let me grab a bell.
Yeah. 26 as well, which is kind of a trials bike I can look at and think, oh, I could... possibly try and ride that. Whereas
super
20
nice.
Inch, I'm like, how the hell do they ride these things?
Yeah, well done, Russell, for sending that in. Next up, another bike vault shot. This is Stump Jumper.
Yeah.
From, oh my God, V69 HMV 9MS7. Memorable.
Catchy.
Better names, please. Better names.
2022 Custom Gold Stump Jumper, Fox Factory, Roval Carbon Wheels, gold pieces from Wooltooth, SRAM SX1. 100% mechanical, no batteries. Thank you, sir.
Next up, this is a hack and a bodge.
Hack and
look
a
at
B.
this.
H and a B.
Bike this. Transport and set up at the mountain.
Yeah.
This is great.
From 85 WSS. Yada yada. I'm a Brit living in the USA, and of course I went for the biggest vehicle that I could get. 2005 Ford Excursion Diesel. Fits two bikes and two surfboards. It's a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Didn't want to spend a ton of money, so I bought a plastic picnic table with foldable legs and through bolted a Rocky Mounts axle clamp setup.
Yeah, I mean, look at the setup. It looks like a pro pull-out drawer.
I see.
And it's a really good build. And I bet that was like super cheap. That is super cheap, but it works really, really well.
That's a great idea.
I think that might be this week's Heckam Bodge winner.
Kind of a slide-in bike mount.
Yeah.
He says that when it comes to snowboard season, you can whip it out and stick your boards in there instead.
Yeah, okay, so race top for that Heckam Bodge on its way to 85 WSSS 5 VRTC. It's on its way to you. right, another bike vault here. It's a Common Sal Meta HT. This is from Neil Crick. Built up the frame with a 160 for instead of a 150 for a slacker head tube.
64.
Oosh. Ooh, look at that.
That's probably almost as slack as Army Pyramid's console.
It really is slack, isn't it? And I like that colourway as well. That's a super nice. Definitely a super nice. Right, next up we've got a Heckam Bodge coming in from Doug. Drivetrain cleaning.
Genius.
Cut up an old shower curtain. That is brilliant, isn't it?
So that you're not spraying, no chance of getting oil onto your disc rotor, I suppose.
That is clever.
Yeah.
I can see what he's done, actually, because what he's done is he's put it over the wheel, then put the axle through it, so there's no cut in it at all.
Huh.
There's no way.
I get you.
There's no way, or is the join down at the bottom? But basically, it's so seamless that there's no way you're getting all that muck on your disc, which is what he's trying to achieve there. God, if I'd seen that one first, I'd have given that the race stops. Too late now. Sorry, Doug.
We're on to a hardcore hardtail from Matt Mendham. This is a Merida Big Trail. Wanted to move into mountain biking from road cycling, so bought this, then watched every GMBN video about it. There's a lot of that. And decided hurtling down rough, rocky and bumpy hills at 50 kilometres an hour. So much better than smooth tarmac on a road bike.
Yes, love it. That's a super nice.
Yeah. He also said, after watching GMBN Tech, I made some choice upgrades, including XD brake levers with 203 discs. That's a cool looking bike.
Nice. Next up from Andrew McCann, Trek Slash.
Good looking bike, that, isn't
it? Yeah, fully custom mullet, 29, 27.5.
Is it? Yeah.
Fox
38.
Love it.
I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but you can see those little red covers that go on the back. On the back of that Fox 38, there's like a little air bleed thing.
Yeah.
And they have those red, and I take them off because I think it looks neat without them, but they're kind of like covers. I'm not sure you get anything in there, but yeah.
What do you think of Tan Wolves?
I haven't had a Tan Wolf for a while. I went through a phase, and now I'm thinking I've gone back out of the Tan Wolf phase, to be honest.
But it's a super nice nonetheless.
Yeah.
Love it. Next up from GBR940, upgrading little by little, he says. Cracking morning at Rogate downhill, Giga 297.
Yeah, I feel a bit sad seeing those bikes because they're so nice.
Breaks my heart a little bit.
Yeah, I know. And nice. There's a lot of them at the race, a lot of Newproof downhill bikes knocking around. They're great bikes, but the brand is no more.
Still a great bike if you can pick one up, and it's definitely a super nice.
Will we see a comeback from Newproof? I'm slightly doubtful. People did ask me the weekend, and I'm like,
I wish you could. Really nuke-proof, though. Really nuke-proof. That would be
unfortunately, the good people aren't there anymore. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, it is sad stuff, but a great bike. Love seeing your bikes and your hacks and bodges. Please keep sending them in to the GMBN uploader. It's linked down below. It's where you can get involved in the show. Good hack or bodge, you could win yourself a race top. Bike vault, well, you could get a super nice. What's not to like? Pretty good fun. Right, here's a way you can win yourself a stunt mug. Let's do this week's caption contest.
Yep.
Here's Steve's picture from this week.
Yeah, I've seen him like that in the past.
It's how Steve always looks out on the trail. If he's been up a hill, looks pretty tired.
Fozzy S says, Jonesy throwing a tantrum like a toddler after his battery died. Yeah, I've seen him do that.
Zipilot says, you call it a concussion, I call it the best nap of my life.
Oh, gosh.
That's how Steve would see it, I think.
Initial P photography. We're wondering where that rogue stunt muck ended up. Now we know.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's what happened. The stunt muck hit him in the head. Who are we going to give it to? I think I'm going to give it to Initial P photography.
I like that. It's good.
For the stunt muck game. Let's see if we can kill someone else.
Douche.
Nick caught it. If you would like to win yourself a stunt mug next week, then give yourself a caption to this photo. Yeah. Put it in the comments down below and you could be winning that stunt mug next week if it hasn't already flown to the trail and hit you in the forehead yourself.
Unlucky.
Yeah. Get involved in the show. We really love it. So there you go. That's all we've got time for this week, Neil. There's some videos you don't want to miss, though, this week.
Mountain bikers do motorbike trials, Martin. Yes. And that's how I got all this soft stuff on my arm.
Brilliant. Yeah, Blake and Neil go motorbike trials riding. Lots of fun. And how to ride 100 miles off-road with Anna on a summer solstice ride.
Sounds good.
Lots of fun. Lots coming up this week. Remember to love, like, and share. Get in the comments. Tell us your age. And, of course, send us your uploads. And we'll see you next week.